The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
And now, coming to you from the pulsating heart of urban Invercargill, come in, pull up a comfy chair, kick your shoes off, and put these on. TNN, the new normal, are proud to welcome you in to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge.
Tēnā koutou katoa, yabba dabba do. Welcome into the Fluffy Slipper Lounge on Radio South, and we are TNN, the new normal, Darren and Linda Ludlow.
Kia ora!
Here we go for episode 105, brought to you by the letter A and B, and the number 14.
Yes.
Because it's the 14th of May.
Wow.
Huh?
I know. How did that happen?
I don't know. I'm wondering if my name is Rumpel Van Ludlow. No, hang on. That's... Rip Van Ludlow.
Mm. Could be rumply skin.
Thank you very much. I did a panto. The one and only panto I've done for the South Otago Theatrical Society was a performance of Rumpelstiltskin, in which I played the evil Baron Bloodknock.
Oh, how appropriate.
A person who was booed and hissed every time he walked on stage, which was really cool. And, you know, there's that whole over-the-top thing with panto. For quite some time afterwards, all these kids that had come to see it were booing and hissing, which was quite disturbing because I thought I was wearing sufficient makeup and had a mustache, which was stuck on.
I see Gussie Johnson also used to like playing the evil villain in melodramas and the like. She would be fantastic.
Gosh, yes. I wish I had seen Gussie performing on stage.
Same.
Actually.
Yeah, same. And I wish I'd had more time to hear more of his story.
I remember watching the late Louise Wright on stage She was on in The Importance of Being Earnest, along with the late Thurza Kennedy and a much younger Mr. Fawcett than he is these days. and just watching this beautiful, elegant woman with that traditional stagecraft and grace and presence was a pleasure. And Gussie's like that, although when you get to know her, she's wicked.
She is wicked. So I imagine that she enjoyed...
Not in a nasty way.
No. And she's still with us, of course.
Yeah.
And talking about Gussie in the past tense yet.
Goodness, she looks so young.
I know,
for
she's doing amazingly.
Age.
Yep, she's very cool.
And, you know, still sharp as a tack. God
yes.
bless you, Gussie. How do we get into that? Oh, well, I'm not sure how we can segue from that to your choice for this week. Now, this is New Zealand Music Month, and you said you were going to follow a theme of great women artists. Ooh.
Yes.
Speaking of which, you'll be able to touch on an event that you were attending on the night of Saturday at Repertory House. We'll do that after we've heard from the song.
I mentioned it last week, I think, actually, that I was going to rock this out at some point. These two women, the Top Twins, of course, couldn't have a musical feature without them somewhere in the mix. At one stage, I had a cassette tape.
Ooh.
Of theirs when I lived in Taranaki, and I can remember it wasn't all that long ago, really. Driving around the central North Island with my Top Twins cassette blasting in my Mazda 323 stereo. And if it wasn't that, it was. Now I've said that, it's gone right out of my head. Sledgehammer.
Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel, thank you. Yes. One extreme or the other, I suppose. But anyway, the Top Twins, country music duo, they have that a very unique sound And they have that blood harmony thing going on, don't
they?
That
is a thing, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. And there, I used to practice harmonising along with their songs because they have their own special way of doing that, actually. I did have a crack at yodelling, but my heart was never in it.
But I
at least understood how it worked by the time I'd listened to them.
My dad was a fabulous yodeler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he would yodel, go to his room of an evening and sing, yodel.
Why?
Because he wasn't allowed to do it anywhere else. it was something he wanted to do, play the harmonica.
Ah, yes.
Or the piano accordion.
Oh, good, eh? Yeah.
Not sure why he didn't do it in the lounge. I used to trot up to the bedroom and lie on the bed and watch him. Yeah. And because he would do the auctioneer song.
Oh, yes.
Bloody well.
It's a great wee number, actually.
That's a trick.
Isn't it?
It's not as dodgy as washing windows.
No, not at all. Somewhat topical, the top twins, too, these days, because they were featured on a Sunday program a month ago, maybe. About their health situations, and from what I understand, there was a tremendous outpouring of, love and support for them, which was because they're finding it very difficult
being apart,
and not the COVID meaning that they can't really go and support each other through cancer treatment and all that stuff. And they've had their moments, I guess, as young women who were lesbians. It must have been not all that easy all the time. I do remember they did a show down here for early 2000s maybe. And I must have been at the Civic for something else, and I happened to hear they had arrived in, and I happened to hear one of them, I can't remember which one it was. And she was so rude. I was absolutely devastated because I had always held them in high regard. And one of them, I can't remember which one it was just so rude. She had a tremendously foul mouth, and she must have been in a really bad mood because she was just nothing pleased, and she was just terrible. And I thought, I wasn't expecting that.
Just down to Peter Gabriel now.
Yeah. But I've forgiven them because, everybody has a bad day, and she might have just been having one of those moments, or she could have been dealing with a complete idiot because there are a few. Everything, they've made characters as well. They created characters, Ken and Ken.
Camp Mother and Camp Leader.
Camp Mother and Camp Leader. There'll be a lot of people our age who, especially women who have reenacted Camp Mother and Camp Leader at various things.
Or seen them in their families.
Yes, yeah, and school camp. Every school camp I've been on, I think, had...
Of recent years, yeah.
Yes, had a Camp Mother and a Camp Leader. So they've really had an impact.
Yours, though, your school camps had one of the other parents who brought along his coffee machine.
Well, yes, fancy. He took his espresso machine, his Breville espresso machine, all the way into Deep Cove. And it's not like it's just a bus trip. It's a bus trip.
A boat trip.
And a boat trip, and then another bus trip there and back. So bless you, Paul Tuckey. He kept me sane that year with us. He got up early. He was always up early. He had the coffee on, and he made us all cups of coffee, and it was fantastic.
Good on him.
Yeah, he was well practiced because that was the youngest child, so he had it down to a fine art by the time he got to that one. So anyway, so of course I searched through my memory banks for one of the top twin songs that I liked the most, but I couldn't go past Untouchable Girls.
It is an anthem of theirs, really.
Yeah, it
isn't
is.
It?
Yep, and it's a good example of all that they do, I reckon, and spoke volumes for its time, I think. So here we go, the Top Twins and Untouchable Girl.
Untouchable girls. We're untouchable, untouchable girls. We're
screen to check, yes, it's definitely finished.
It's not the version I used to listen to, actually, but it's a ripper. And you can't help it. And they're fine musicians, actually, both of them. Jules and Linda, thanks very much. Doing good work.
Now, speaking of fine female musicians, you were involved in an event on Saturday night at Repertory House. How did you get into that? what was it and how did it go?
Well, somewhat unexpectedly, I was very fortunate to be invited to be the stud double of sorts for Liv Cochran, because Liv was unwell, and so, or somebody in her house was unwell or something. She wasn't able to MC the Pictures in Her Head musical extravaganza of sorts, held at Repertory House on Saturday night. It is a showcase of young women songwriters from Southland, put together by the marvellous Sally Bodkin Allen.
Dr.
Sally. And so she puts out a call and encourages the secondary school music teachers and to put some young women forward, and you can, you know, you don't have to be at school. Any young woman who's a singer-songwriter can put their name forward, and she, you know, puts together the program. Unfortunately, a couple of the young ladies were not able to be there because of COVID. But Sally, thankfully, called on me to fill in, and I'm really glad she did. It was a fantastic night. The young women were everything from 16 to probably 25, I think, mm-hmm. years old. Familiar with a few of them from school, which was quite funny. But fantastic songwriting abilities, actually, and a huge range of voices. We had a young girl from Southland Girls High School, Utter, who did a rap, which was awesome, actually. And I'm not sure, I didn't see her afterwards, but I wanted to say to her, because they'd had some trouble, I don't know, Tom would be able to explain it, some trouble with her backing track, and so at normal speed it sounded not right somehow, and so Tom slowed it down and it was fine, so there was some distortion or something or other. So when she did it, it wasn't a really fast clip, you know, rap, it was just, it was better, actually, I thought. I really liked it at the speed it was at. Everything from rap to gutsy kind of rocky kind of stuff, and lots of other bits and pieces in between. It was really nice.
Have a good audience.
Yeah, heck. Repertory House holds about 130, I think. Yep. And I think I heard Sally say there was like 4 tickets left.
Oh.
So they're a really good crowd. And that wasn't all, you know, mums and dads. I don't think it was all their relatives.
Aunts and uncles as well. Wow.
Probably how many girls were there? Oh, 8 or 9 or 10. Good number. All, you know, several of them had never written a song and performed it in front of anybody before.
Oh.
A couple had done it, performed in the previous first edition 2 or 3 years ago now, but most of them, you know, good number of them had never ever performed a song that they'd written in front of anybody, or had never written a song before. So it was a really good night, actually, and a really supportive crowd, really encouraging, and all those young women did a really good job. So thanks, Sally, for including me, because it was a real treat, actually. And I would suggest to anybody that they keep their eyes open for the opportunity to go another time. I hope I'll be allowed back.
Well, Tom, our soundie here, our audio production engineer, who was the soundie on the night, was glowing. He said it was really great. He said the girls were a bit nervous come showtime, but he was impressed with the talent. He was amazed at how funny the MC was.
Try living with her.
I may have said that. I said, I'm aware of that. Try living with her. But he said it was a really enjoyable gig.
Yeah, it was a really nice night. And it, the only reason it went late was because the MC talked too much, I think.
But, oh, come on.
You know, these things happen.
Yeah. Interestingly, so what's it called?
Pictures in Her Head.
Cool.
I had to really think because I wanted to say Voices in Her Head, which would have been an entirely different evening.
Yes. And an entirely different audience.
Yeah.
Interestingly, that leads into our second track, which I've picked as one of the ones I want to play for New Zealand Music Month. And it's one of the tracks off a due out in the next couple of weeks album from Jenny Mitchell. It's her second album. Her first one did very well for her. And from all accounts, she's really matured even more as a songwriter. Like Aaron O'Connor, got one of those lovely, pure voices that just sounds fabulous when recorded. The track that that I'm going to play is called Lucy, and it features Liv Cochran, who you were mentioning just before, and it's based on Lucille Ball. And the video for it is very, very clever. So Jenny is playing Jenny singing the song into a mirror. And on the other side of the mirror is Liv playing the part of Lucille Ball.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, a good choice because they're both redheads.
Yes. And funny.
Yep. So it's well worth having a look on the Tube of You for that video, but let's have a listen to the song. This is Jenny Mitchell featuring Liv Cochran and Lucy.
Lucy's got a fancy car, bet it could go real far, but she don't leave home much. I ain't got no fancy mobile, but I sure do spin the wheel. She's jealous of me and I'm jealous of her love. I guess we never quite have enough, but it's just the way that it goes. Sometimes the world, it feels awful slow, and it's just the way that it is. We all go fishing till we're sick of fish, and it don't make no sense. We all dream of the green over that me to know that it's just the way it goes. Lucy's got a pretty house and two little girls now and a man who pays all the bills. I've only got my mouth to feed, but I sure do get lonely. She swears she's envious somehow. I swear she had it all figured out, but it's just the way that it goes. Sometimes the world, it feels awful slow, and it's just the way. We all go fishing till we're sick of fish, and it don't make no sense. But we all dream of the green over that fence, and it comforts me to know that it's just the way it goes. comforts me to know that the world gave Lucy and I different kinds of gold. And life confused us.
You're listening to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. This is Radio South on 96.4 FM. We are TNN, the new normal. And that was Lucy featuring Jenny Mitchell and Liv Cochran, providing some support there. Great stuff. Thank you very much for that. And some local music for New Zealand Music Month. And follows on from the local talent that you were talking about on a show at the on being showcased at the Pictures in Her Head.
Indeed. Event. I hope those young ladies continue with their musical adventures.
It's a musical journey.
Mm.
Sorry, that's a line from
something else.
U2's Rattle and Hum movie.
Oh.
I don't know why it's stuck in my head. Right. With Fluffy Slipper Lounge, we're going to step into the part of the lounge where the television is. And some theme songs. Now, the first one actually comes in two parts because there was a different one at the beginning and then at the end. So I'll play them one into the other. And on Friday nights at 11 o'clock at some point in the mid-1980s, which was just after closing time, but before you get ready to go out to Regine's and Sammy's, you'd see the Young Ones.
Yeah.
The first of that anarchic humour of Ben Elton, who we saw live in concert last year.
No, can't it be last year?
Oh, more likely to be last year than the year before. Maybe. Sometime in the last couple of years.
Could have been 3 years ago.
gee, who knows? It was bloody funny.
It was. He's still really funny. Very
and,
clever man.
And bang on for our age group.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yes.
But this was...
and still inappropriate.
Yep. Adrian Edmondson, Rick Mayall formed their relationship together, and as Vivian, and what was Rick Mayall's character?
Rick.
Yeah. Oh, Rick, it was too. And then there was Neil the hippie.
Neil Orange Peel.
And Mike.
Mike,
the straight guy who gets all the girls, but didn't really. No. And Alexi Sale. And
he was even more creepy than the others, I reckon.
Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. and who can forget Vivian's amazing little Ford Anglia with a leg as a hood on it?
Yes. And, you know, featured Jennifer Saunders on the odd occasion.
Yep. Who are we
and
just?
And Dawn French.
Yes. Lots of cameos from all those.
And the ska band Madness.
Yes, twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, Lemmy
yep.
was on there one
featured
night.
Featured some weird, wonderful.
Ben Elton would appear on it on occasion as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also sparked off that that track Livin' Doll with the whole Cliff Richard thing. And if you wonder why they did that with Cliff Richard, it's because The Young Ones was a Cliff Richard song.
Yeah.
And they did their own version that was quite obviously being sung loosely by the cast. And then there was the other thing that they played at the other end of the show. So remember The Young Ones?
Once in every lifetime comes a love like this. Oh, I need you.
So that was how the show opened, and then there were the end credits that went like this. No, not like that at all. Something real funny going on with this blooming computer today. It went like this.
Thank you.
So that was the end theme for the young ones without the fluffy slipper lounge intro in the middle there. Someone had been playing with the computer and I think I've figured out what's been going on. And a stingy slap on the legs is coming for that person when I hunt them down. They don't remember that there's security cameras in here. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Their key element is surprise. Surprise and fear.
Fear and surprise.
The other TV theme, because that really only counts as one, it was one show that I thought I would pluck, he said very carefully, is stuff that we used to watch with our parents and was very, very clever. And it was The Two Ronnies.
Yeah, loved The Two Ronnies.
Just there was so much going on in that show. And who can forget the phantom raspberry blower of old London town?
Indeed.
With raspberries blown by?
Spike Milligan.
Well done.
Indeed.
Ronnie Corbett's little pieces that he would sit in his chair and tell a tale that took half a day.
My favourite things were the news broadcast.
Yes, that's good night for me and good night from him. Broadcast. And you saw so many of those things being parodied in variety shows and little theatre clubs all over the place. And it was great.
Yeah, it was clever.
Only occasionally slightly naughty, with a bit of the good old British double entendre. But it was actually, you know, family viewing. Well, with older kids, probably, unless you wanted some good.
Yeah, no,
it wasn't like Benny Hill.
I wouldn't know, although we used to watch that too.
Yes. Or Kenny Everett.
I wasn't very old when those were on. I remember watching them, and I just took what I understood out of it. It wasn't anything too terrible. And Dad absolutely loved it. And he was a bit like Ronnie Barker, actually, at times. Between that and Fred Flintstone.
You're talking Ronnie Barker in The Two Ronnies, not Ronnie Barker from Porridge or Ronnie Barker from Future Cloth Granville.
Yeah, no, not.
Open All Hours.
No, not that. But he did remind me, if he'd had big square glasses, they'd have looked a little bit similar.
Well,
actually.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, the hair was very similar, actually. Yeah. Anyway, we used to chuckle away at some of that stuff, and Dad was actually quite a dab hand at writing similar pieces for their staff work dues.
Oh, right.
He used to.
Maybe the occasional rotary skit.
Yes, and there's a whole other story about the race calling that he used to write.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. Hilarious, actually. But anyway, I should find one.
Oh.
For the show.
For a reel to reel.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Excellent.
However, The Two Ronnies.
Yes, this is The Two Ronnies theme done by Ronnie Hazelhurst and his orchestra.
Again.
This is the part of the theme that you've never heard.
Thank you.
Cold blimey, don't that half sound like a BBC production?
Doesn't it? And Ronnie Hazelhurst, we could actually fill another month's worth of TV themes with just Ronnie Hazelhurst's work.
Yep.
Because there are some absolute crackers.
There's another couple lined up.
Good hope.
Speaking of television, this is a bit sad.
Oh, yes. I was quite sad when I heard that at the beginning of the week.
I didn't know until you told me.
I know.
It's like, Dennis Waterman is no longer.
Yeah, he passed away in the weekend at his home in Spain.
Oh.
It's probably a miserable little cabin somewhere in Spain.
Yeah, probably not.
I used to love Dennis Waterman when he was in, well, I loved him in The Sweeney.
Da-da-da, da-da-da.
Which might have been one of the first theme songs we played.
Yeah, it has featured.
Loved him in The Sweeney, but loved him even more in
Minder.
That
was really where he really endeared himself to audiences. You had Alpha Daily, and we went to his discount store in Melbourne.
I wore that hat for a lot of years.
It's great wear out of it.
Yep.
And Terence is Minder, who would go and do his odd jobs for him. And
yes.
Stop Arthur's butt from being whooped by people he had trod on.
Which were many and varied.
Yes, because he was, of course.
Typical East End.
Yeah, oh gosh, dodgy. What was the name of the actor who played Arthur Daly?
Oh, now that you've
George,
asked me.
George, anyway. He was actually right British actor. You see him in some of those old British films.
Yes. And, what I didn't know about Dennis was that he had actually been through the Stratford's Shakespeare Company.
No.
Royal Shakespeare Company, yeah.
Really?
Yes, and I did not know this.
Because you could not tell.
No.
I mean, it wasn't a Shakespearean type of, you know, you can go with Patrick Stewart and go, yes, you're obviously a Shakespearean actor.
Yes.
And then Dennis Waterman, you go, no, much like Jimmy Nail, but before Jimmy Nail was Jimmy Nail, he is an actor who can sing. And we played the bejesus out of the theme to Minder when I worked at Classic Hits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good wee number.
A great show.
And Dennis,
and a good ditty.
Dennis used to like doing his own theme songs because it's not the only one he did.
No, he did the theme to Old Dogs. Old Dogs, New Tricks.
New Tricks,
which old, you know.
I can see the connection. I can see the connection.
Which is the most recent series he and a bunch of other people what's his name? Bowles was in it, wasn't he? Alec Bowles? Or?
No, Patrick.
Patrick Bowles.
Yes, and the guy from Only When I Laugh, and they might have even been in When the Boat Comes In.
Oh.
Bolan.
Bolan, that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, righto, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was in that. I quite liked New Tricks too, actually. I watched it a bit.
Yeah.
It was at a time when I wasn't really watching a lot of telly, but I've watched some of the reruns not all that long ago, actually. But yeah, Dennis Waterman, I loved Minder, and I loved the theme song, which might magic itself out of the universe. George Cole was that guy.
That's it, thank you.
It's just come to me in the middle of another sentence, so
excellent.
There you go. George Cole.
George Cole, OBE.
Oh.
Died 5th August 2015.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, see, lots of them. There were some quite...
He was in the early St. Trinian's films, and that's what I was thinking.
Oh,
of.
Righto. Oh, good-o.
I know. Who'd have thought?
Quite a lot of those cast members will have gone on to, you know, a whole lot
live
of other things.
Live in Spain.
Yeah, probably.
In
well,
the
how can't, I don't know how many seasons Minder had, but it was...
It was a few.
Oh, here we go. 11. 11 seasons.
Gosh.
So that was pretty good effort, actually.
114 episodes, to be precise.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, across 11 seasons from 1979 through to 1994. Gee, it did have a good run.
Yeah.
But it was a beloved show.
Yep. And as you say, a commercially successful theme song in its own right, actually.
A lot of people didn't realise it was Dennis doing the singing until every radio station started talking about it, myself included.
Well, it was pretty obvious, I thought, but maybe not. I don't know. I thought it was pretty obvious.
Well, Dennis passed away. How old was he?
74.
74 at the weekend, so his family have announced. So here he is, the late Dennis Waterman. You're listening to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge on Radio South and 96.4 FM. We are TNN, the new normal. That is the late Dennis Waterman. Very sad, he passed away at 74 at the weekend with I Could Be So Good For You, which was also the theme to the television show Minder.
Who wrote that then?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. A guy called Jared Kenny.
And who's he?
Well, he's an American singer-songwriter.
Oh, is he?
But he lived in London.
He
was based there, and he received the Ivor Novello Award for Best Television Theme Music for that very song.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Go that man.
Well done. And I'd forgotten what fat bass was in that.
Yeah, it's great.
Bit of bass slapping. Slapping to bass.
And it's not a terrible voice.
No. It's like Jimmy Nail. Jimmy Nail's got that real Newcastle accent, but just... Yeah. Well, you know, so many people lose their accents when they sing.
Yes, weirdly. How does that work?
It's a strange thing. How does that work? I have no idea.
Blame the Americans. I blame them.
I've got a challenge.
Oh.
I have been challenged to participate. I've been challenged in so many ways. Challenged to participate in the 6th annual Fitbit Movement Challenge for Diabetes New Zealand. Now, basically, it starts up this weekend. or next week, May 16th through to the end of the month, May 29th. And I get a nice new Fitbit, what they are sending to me.
Oh, lucky.
And they set me up with this account that puts me on a dashboard. And there's about 16, normally there's about 16 different participants who are tapped on the shoulder and ask, can you do this? And we haul into the fundraising phase of it through a Give a Little page at Diabetes New Zealand will benefit from. So it's basically getting people to pledge a little bit of support, whatever they can. I have no idea who any of the other 16 are. I am aware that the late Sir Ian Edgar was a participant who did very, very well.
Yeah, pressure's on. He raised tens of thousands of dollars.
80. Yes. $80,000.
So, listener, you've got a big ask.
It's probably just pocket money for him. Probably yep. came out of his milk money jar.
He tapped a few shoulders himself and got great support. Also, people like Rod Slater. Rod's done it before. Rod's one of the board members.
A former Rugby New Zealand person as
Morris,
well.
Morris Trapp. There's an actor from Shortland Street who did it, a young Samoan man, I think he was.
Gore boy Mike Peru.
Indeed. Quite a range of high profile.
And me.
And you.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous.
So I'm looking at some of the things, because people will be able to follow my progress on my social media. Theirs.
It's about getting moving, right? So it's about increasing people's steps, numbers of steps, or just physical activity generally.
And it does
speaking.
Make a difference. So I was talking to the Diabetes New Zealand Chief Executive, Heather Veery, and reflecting on the fact that there have been a couple of things that have made a significant difference for me personally in having more control over my diabetes, in case you haven't caught up, I'm a type 1 diabetic. And one of those is having a CGM, a continuous glucose monitor.
Mm-hmm.
They're unfunded, but it does mean it's way easier for me to see what's going on with my blood sugars when I need to address it when I'm at risk. I've got another device that attaches to it, thanks to a study that I took part in with the University of Otago, that talks to my phone and sends me little warnings when I'm getting low, which has gone off a couple of times in the middle of the night, which has been very handy. But the other part is having a fitness tracker, and Fitbit play a significant role in helping get a lot of people moving. I remember Gore District Mayor Tracy Hicks showing me very proudly his Fitbit and how it made him realise how sedentary he was and what he needed to be. Now, he's a healthy man, what he needed to be doing. So for people with type 2 diabetes in particular, diet and exercise, so, you know, being able to keep track of your exercise, and even for me as a type 1, knowing that it makes a difference to me when I have been active. And I selected a watch face for my Fitbit that has rings that I need to close.
Mm.
And that's a really useful thing. So thanks, Fitbit, for helping to make that change.
And they've been long-time supporters,
Of this project as well. There are some interesting parts to the challenge I have to be wary of. No swearing or defamatory language. Okay.
Oh, oops.
I think I can do
no
that.
No swearing.
No reference to alcohol or smoking. Yeah, I can do that. no nudity.
Sorry.
So the social media will be quite safe to watch. And because people have been stuck indoors over the last couple of years and are really being encouraged to get back out, the theme this year is the Great Scenic Steps Challenge. So looking at the things around you when you're going out and gathering your 10,000 steps a day, and you get the wee buzzy vibratey thing on your Fitbit, and it sets off the fireworks. It happened quite a bit when we were up in Christchurch back at Easter,
because
you found a nice place for us, nice and handy. So we walked a lot of places, and it was really good. We're waiting on the treadmill to arrive back, but I'm going to have to get out and do some stuff. I thought, oh, do I have a crack at Bluff Hill?
Oh, yes, you just, could do.
Maybe I'll walk down it. That's actually quite hard.
Well, I find that on my joints much harder.
Yes.
My heart rate, not so much, but but my joints. Yes.
I'll do a bit of walking around Queen's Park. Well, and even Deftel Bay.
There's lots of. We're very fortunate. There's lots of lovely places.
Yep. And sheltered ones for those inclement days.
Yeah. Well, Thompson's Bush is not bad for that. But
I can take some photos of some scenic parts of our office where the treadmill sits. The new treadmill finally gets here.
We can put some nice pictures up on the screen so that it looks a bit more picturesque.
This is what I'm watching, really. not Netflix, no.
No, it's a beautiful forest in Japan.
So I'll stick some stuff up on our Fluffy Slipper Lounge Facebook page so you can keep track of how it's going. There'll be a link that I'll put up there as well so you can see how I'm doing and how the others are doing, and I'll share my journey along the way up to our page as well. And if
get donating, because we all will benefit.
Yep. I'll put up the podcast of the interview that I do with Heather as well. She was lovely to chat to. I really enjoyed it. Our final track today has, since we were speaking of Christchurch, a slight reference to a band that, how do you describe them? Lo-fi indie rock. There's only two people, Alec Bathgate and Chris Knox.
Oh.
Tall Dwarfs.
Yay.
Now,
I loved the title right from when I was first heard.
I can't imagine why. but you saw an exhibition of the music of...
the artwork of?
Of the artwork Flying Nun. Flying Nun, that's it. At the Christchurch Art Gallery a while ago, and there's some very cool posters there in the shop.
Yes, there are. And I did, as I want to do, go via the gift store and buy the what was essentially the exhibition book, but it actually looks like a concert program.
Mm.
And it's very cool. Very cool artwork.
I found Crush by the Tall Dwarfs. It's the EP version that we'll use to play out. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. It always goes up Friday night on our Facebook page. Like us there and you'll see it and get it first. It's on the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can download it for a week. There's a few back episodes up there as well. We're on Apple Podcasts, and there's the accessmedia.nz app free from Google Play that you can download. Select Radio Southland as your station and you are set. Once you makes it easier for you to scroll through to F. For the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. I think it's under F. I'm pretty sure. Yes, it is. It is under F.
Okay.
So the Tall Dwarfs and Crush in just a moment. Thanks for listening. We look forward to catching you again next week.
Ka kite, don't be a dick.
Is it free? There are some people. walk here beside you. Can I speak your name? Can I just be here? Can I speak in anger? Can I speak in shame? Can I just be here? I'm a lover, I'm a winner, I'm a fighter. Come to set your soul on fire. I'm a lover, I'm a renegade fighter. Come to set your soul on fire. I'm a lover, I'm a sinner, I'm a fighter. Come to set your soul on fire. I'm a lover, I'm a renegade fighter. Come to set your soul on fire.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.